Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. What's up? Presented by Progressive Insurance and Straight Talk Wireless, where they don't play any games, man. California's going to be playing games. We'll talk about that in a second. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So Stephen A is going to join us in about 20 minutes. That's what I was told. We are expecting him in 20 minutes or so. And Mike Bone, the athletic director of USC, will stop by. And it's a perfect time to talk to Mike Bone, because yesterday, Gavin Newsom, the governor of the state of California, says that sporting events without spectators are in store for the state of California. So he said yesterday, shortly after the show, that he expects professional sporting events to reopen without spectators as early as the first week of June. So certainly good news. We'll hear audio from the governor here in a second, because I wanted to make sure we get that. But we're having a little, issue with some of our connecting with some of our crew. So we'll have that for you in a second. But look, ultimately, this is all good news. Okay. Ultimately, and here's the thing, man. I was trying to explain to people while this was all happening in real time that it's funny, because I would get like texts from like friends of mine who don't live here and be like, oh man, Governor California, man, and the mayor of LA, man, they're being harsh on you guys. It's crazy. I don't know how you deal with it. And I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like, we're opening up more stuff here in California and in LA safely than almost anywhere in the country. Like I said, I haven't felt all that restricted, right? Like, it's funny. The internet is a place for massive exaggeration on a very regular basis. Like, I laugh when I see people like tweet out or put on their Instagram, quarantine is for the sick. You know, when you quarantine people who are healthy, that's tyranny. Oh, stop. Look, take it from someone whose parents fled oppression and a communist regime. You have no idea what tyranny is. Okay? Like, I'm just being frank with you. All right? Let's tone down the rhetoric a little bit and let's relax. Okay? We're dealing with an unprecedented event and a global pandemic. And my point is that ultimately, we were going to change as the data changed. And that was a consistent message from both Gavin Newsom and from Mayor Garcetti. And here we are. Right? I remember getting mad last week or whatever it was at the LA Times for writing a headline that said, Newsom puts brakes on MLB. And I'm like, that is not what he said. He literally said, we talked to MLB. We'll see where we are in July. We're working on this in real time. We'll make decisions based on the data. We'll see where we're at in July. Like, literally, those were the quotes. And the LA Times ran with, Gavin Newsom puts brakes on MLB. And so, look, for someone who is a subscriber to the LA Times, someone who appreciates the LA Times, someone who believes it's one of the most trusted newspapers in all of America, that's one headline. Everyone makes a mistake. And by the way, as someone who's written stories over the years, sometimes the headlines scream stuff that isn't necessarily what your story's about. So I don't blame the writer, and I know everyone makes mistakes, so I'm not necessarily trying to call out the LA Times per se, but just use that as an example. And that this was always going to be something that was going to consistently evolve. So good news, because we love sports. If you're listening to this show, it's because you love sports. If you're listening to this station, it's because you love sports. And I think that sports, as we've talked about repeatedly here, has a place in the zeitgeist and in America to provide a distraction. And here we are. We are hopefully on the precipice of this happening. So if you didn't hear what Governor Newsom actually said, Laura, if you can just play both cuts back to back, it's only like 20 seconds and like 10 seconds or something like that. Let me hear the cuts from Governor Gavin Newsom. Okay, maybe we don't have availability for... Okay, so let me know. Let me know when they're ready, because that way the audience can hear them. All right.
Sporting events, pro sports, in that first week or so of June without spectators and modifications and very prescriptive conditions also can begin to move forward, and a number of other sectors of our economy will open up again if we hold these trend lines in the next number of weeks.
So yeah,
that's deep conditions, deep modifications, deep stipulations in terms of protecting not only the players, but more broadly, their support staff.
And there you go. So there's more conversations to be had about how to do it safely. And that's the key to all of this. Okay. We talked about Chris Paul on The Jump the other day, and he was talking about the players are fairly, you know, very adamant at getting back. They want to play. And it's just about trying to figure it out and how to do it safely. Now, look, baseball has a plan. Some people think it's too rigid. Well, listen, this is the deal, man. Like, this is not what is happening. Like, you can't apply your regular sensibilities to what's happening now. Sorry, you can't spit sunflower seeds anymore. For the love of God. Like, use your noggin, man. Like, this can't be that difficult. So anyway, that's good news. And if Major League Baseball and their Players Association want to push back because they can't chew tobacco or they can't spit sunflower seeds, then that's on them. Okay? Like, the rest of sports will continue at that particular point, because clearly the other sports are ready to figure out a plan. And Major League Baseball has laid out a plan for you. If you want to argue over it, then I think, again, it boils back to what we talked about a lot last week. Remember? Read the room. And it feels like, of all these sports, that baseball and their players are the ones that really don't understand reading the room. So the safety protocols for baseball: players would undergo multiple temperature screenings per day. Okay. Players and other team personnel not playing must sit in the stands 6 feet apart. And distancing also applies during the national anthem. High fives, fist bumps, hugs, spitting, tobacco, sunflower seeds prohibited. Players would be discouraged from showering at stadiums after games. Listen, man. I get you're stinky after a game. Chances are, wherever you're going to be playing your games, you're going to be going back to some hotel that's fairly close. If you have to stink for an extra 20 minutes, and they're going to disinfect the bus that you're in anyway. So it's not like it's going to stink day after day after day. This isn't the movie Major League, where they were on a prop plane, right? A propeller plane one day that was being taped. And then, you know, in a thunderstorm. And then the next day, the owner was so cheap because she wanted to move the team to Miami in the movie that, you know, they were on some bus that was breaking down every 5 minutes. That's not what's going to happen here. So let's just, again, use some perspective here and some context when describing all of this. That's all I'm saying. So. Greg, what is the problem? Hello? Okay, I don't know what's happening. I'm getting texts from Greg to go to break, so I don't know what he's talking about. And I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, I will continue talking about it. I apologize for that. This is very strange. But anyhow, in the interim, what we will do is we will talk about this throughout the show. Like, I feel like if you are a member of the fan base of a particular baseball team, you have to be pretty annoyed that there's even any pushback about silly things like sunflower seeds and chewing tobacco. That's my guess. That's just me personally. So, but speaking of annoyed, I'm fairly annoyed. because we talked about this a little yesterday, too. It's the whole situation about the NFL and their Rooney Rule. And they're meeting today, as a matter of fact. And we talked about it. It was basically to incentivize teams, you know, to hire minorities. Because let's face it, they've done a terrible job in the NFL at hiring minorities, right? It's a big problem, especially when you consider the sport is, I believe, 70% African-American. But the coaching pipeline has not been fixed by any stretch of the imagination. And there are not real paths and real opportunities for minorities. You only have four minority head coaches, three African-American head coaches, one Hispanic coach in Ron Rivera, and two minority GMs. So there were a number of people that were discussing how to remedy this. And look, I'm of the opinion that, and I'm clearly a minority, but I don't want this. Like, if you have to incentivize teams with increasing their draft positioning to hire minorities, like, you clearly aren't talking to the minorities that are already within your organization, if you're the NFL, because I don't think any one of them would have sat there and said, yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, it just comes across as tone deaf. I mean, we've been talking about reading the room. Good Lord, the NFL also not reading the room. So Dominique Foxworth, who's one of our ESPN NFL analysts, Laura, I know we have sound from him from Get Up, was talking about this particular proposal, and I feel like he just nailed it.
This might have been an ingenious way for racial progress by the NFL because it's managed to bring everyone together in opposition of this plan. I don't think it's obviously just a proposal, so it's not a plan that they're going to implement just yet. But I think it is somewhat offensive to not only the potential candidates, but also to the guys who are running the team. They are saying you're not willing to do the right thing. You're not able to get past whatever biases you have without us essentially paying you and bribing you to do the right thing.
It is. It's offensive. It's probably the best way to describe it, right? Like, it is absolutely offensive. And look, Stephen A., who's supposed to join us in a few minutes, I think he's supposed to join us, had this to say on First Take, and he just kind of echoes the sentiments that Dominique had, but certainly a lot stronger.
This wouldn't work. You don't want to be a black man hired under these conditions because you would be the epitome of what they call an affirmative action hire, somebody that they deemed unqualified for the position that just got it because of this. And you definitely would be excoriated, at least privately, within NFL circles. No black coach wants to be hired under those conditions.
Nobody would want to be hired under those conditions. You know what I'm saying? Like, get out of here with that nonsense. Like, I don't know anyone out there that would want that. So it is just kind of a strange, strange time. And clearly, I don't think that's going to pass. And here's how I would remedy this very simply before we go to break. And we'll talk to Stephen A. here in a second. I would say this. I mentioned it earlier briefly, right? It's about creating real opportunities and real paths for people to succeed. And there's talk in the NFL that they're going to add the Rooney Rule, not just to head coaching positions, but also to coordinator positions, which is a good start. But if you're going to do that, why not just do that for every position on the staff, on the coaching staff? Like, why stop there? Like, you're going to tell me there's not qualified minority candidates who played in the National Football League that can't be a quality control coach? Like, literally, the get back coach? Like, yeah, you're telling me that? Because that job usually goes to some sort of nepotism, right? Usually goes to the son of the coach or the son of the coordinator or something like that. More times than not, there's a lot of that. So you're telling me that a more recently retired NFL player who wants to get into the coaching ranks can't start at quality control? So I think that it should just they should just do it across the board. Like, if you're going to do it for coordinators, do it for every position. Do it for running backs coach, right? Do it for quarterbacks coach. Do it for offensive line, defensive line, DBs, whatever. It just makes sense. Like, you want, it's no different than the radio, okay? In theory, the radio is a public trust in your individual town. And you would want the radio stations to reflect what the population of your community looks like, okay? And look, We could talk about how that underindexes in a number of ways too, depending on the city. So again, like, that is the best way to do it. It should reflect based on your constituency. And when 65 or 70% of the constituency in the NFL is African-American, there probably should be a few more African-American coaches than four head coaches and two GMs and, you know, a few sprinkled here and there at running back, right? Or DB. So that's what I'm saying. It's just create a real path and real opportunity for people. It's that simple. It's not crazy, you know? And it's not like you're handing anything over. You're just asking them to be part of the interview process. You're not saying they're going to guarantee to get the job, because I know that's where people go immediately. Oh, why don't we just hand over the jobs to all the minorities? I'm not saying that either. So calm down before you get all flustered and flip the station or yell at your radio or your app, your phone app. All I'm saying is the interview process. And then you hire the best person that you think from there. It's literally how the Rooneys came across Mike Tomlin. So it can work. And it just makes it a more level playing field from the interview process. Again, minorities don't want a hand-me-down. They just want an opportunity to prove themselves. And that's how you prove yourself, in the interview process. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. 877-710-3776. So let me know what you feel or how you feel about the latest on the governor. Let me know how you feel about Major League Baseball players trying to push back on sunflower seeds, for God's sake. And then, of course, this NFL situation. So we'll talk to Stephen A. on the other side. We'll take some of your calls as well. We're back in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch the new Shower Sessions video on YouTube.com/progressive. The singing in the shower. Help you get your insurance. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We're efforting to find Stephen A. Either way, I want to just talk about some of the things that we've been discussing here. And Bergman, are you there? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm here.
After you tried to get us to go to break earlier, in the middle of my rant and thought process.
I had lost all audio, so I thought you were gone.
Yeah, word to the wise, don't ever tell the host to go to break in the middle of his thought process. Lesson learned. How are you going to defend your beloved baseball players for not wanting to spit out sunflower seeds?
Look, if it's just from the sunflower seeds, that's ridiculous. But the fact that people are creatures of habit, right? So when you play baseball, when I played baseball, I ate sunflower seeds. I had a big cheek full of sunflower seeds. That's just a way that people are used to playing baseball. I understand that you have to change it, but if that's been your process, if that's how you kind of go about things on a daily basis, it's going to be difficult for you to just be like, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. If that's their only reason for why they don't want to play baseball, then that's ridiculous. You can change.
I would also say the chewing tobacco thing and even the not showering, dude. Like, you're going to a hotel probably 10 minutes away from your stadium.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it's that. If it's just those teeny little things, then there's a much bigger issue overall. If it's more of like the social distancing on the field where they encourage you to stay 6 feet away from the base runner before the pitch is thrown, I mean, that can be a little – I can understand why they would have a problem with that.
Yeah, but even that can be remedied. Like, I don't think I don't think any of this should be a deal breaker, dude. Like, you either want to play and you want to get paid or you don't.
Right. Look, everybody wants it back. They want to play. They want to make the money. It's just when if you're not holding on a runner anymore, if there's just so many little things that takes away from the actual game that you're not playing baseball anymore. You're playing scared. And that's a dangerous way to play any sport.
Okay. I get what you're saying. However, we're dealing with a global pandemic. If you can't hold a runner on first, so be it. If you have to alter the rules, we were literally talking a couple of weeks ago about a home run derby to settle games if they're tied. Like, seriously, that's baseball?
Well, yeah, okay, look, home run derby to settle ties is totally different than doing the little things that happen every single pitch in a game. It's all part of the strategy of the game. holding on a runner and not holding on a runner, I'm just using that one as an example. There's plenty of other things, changes the entire strategy of a game.
I get it. But my point is you're not going to be able to play the game exactly the way you expect it. It's what I literally told you yesterday. You're going to be the guy, okay, if and when they agree. I can see this happening, and I know what you're going to try to do. You're going to try to not do this because I'm literally saying that this is exactly how you're going to do it. And you're going to be the guy that's going to complain. You're going to complain about the product, and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tell you, what did you expect this to look like? Because it's not going to look like baseball like you've normally expected to look. It's not going to look like how you've normally expected baseball to look. It's going to be the same way with basketball. It's going to be, to some extent, a similar way with hockey or whatever other damn sport we play.
All right, so I disagree with that. I'm not going to play. I'm going to be happy that sports are back, that baseball and basketball and football are all back. Now, I mean, there's going to be little things that I'm going to be like, oh, that's a little bit odd, because it's going to be different. You're also asking me, what do I think that the players, how am I going to defend the players in this situation? And I'm telling you what I think they're having an issue with. That's not whether or not I want baseball back or not. I will absolutely enjoy every second of watching that game.
Yeah, I doubt it. Doesn't sound like you're going to enjoy it. Doesn't sound like you're going to enjoy it.
I think you're going to complain about some of this.
Oh, I'm not going to complain at all. Listen, I'm the one sitting here trying to give perspective to people, making fun of baseball players for getting upset about not spitting sunflower seeds. I mean, get the hell out of here with that.
Who's getting upset about sunflower seeds, by the way? Have you seen somebody on Twitter that's been like, I'm not going to play if I can't spit my sunflower seeds?
Okay, I'm going to tell you in a second, but let me go to James first. Go ahead, James. What do you got?
I want to throw this out there. I played baseball in high school, and I never made it through a complete season. Now, I'm 6'7". I was about 210. I could throw the ball mid-90s. I had potential. I never made it through a full season because of the spitting. It was disgusting. People would sit in the dugout, and they'd spit between their feet in an attempt to make the biggest puddle of spit possible. It was heinous. Good riddance.
Thank you. I appreciate it, James. Stay safe. So Outside the Lines is reporting that they spoke to 85 sources about MLB's plan, Greg, to start the season. Mm-hmm. And one of the quotes in the story is this: less a baseball season than a military style operation in which a number of variables could derail the plan or worse, contribute to the spread of the disease. Yeah, basically, the reason they're putting all these damn things in place is because all this stuff can spread the disease. So either you want to abide by the rules or you don't.
Look, I get that. I understand the whole pandemic thing, and I understand not spitting. Like, I'm fine with that. If you don't get rid of the sunflower seeds, get rid of the chewing tobacco, get rid of all these things that could make it so that you can spread disease easier. I just think that the game itself, when it comes to the social distance aspect or getting rid of a ball after two people touch it, is going to make it a very difficult thing to watch. The game is not going to be anywhere near the same. And I know that there's going to be some differences because of the pandemic, but it's going to be a much more watered down product.
And you'll take it, okay?
Because the
watered down product is better than nothing, is all I'm saying. And by the way, the watered-down product on NASCAR had a 40% bump in viewership. The watered-down product of the UFC on Friday night on ESPN had a 68% bump than the previous one. And that's just the reality of the world we're living in. And I don't think, people will complain, but at the end of the day, they're going to watch. And that's what's necessary, is that you're going – and if you are a player and you're going to – forgo playing over whether it's money, whether it's the regimen that you're going to have to go through, I don't think you're going to find a lot of people that are very compassionate with you. Like, that's all I'm saying.
No, I didn't watch the UFC. So how much of the UFC was actually watered down? I mean, it's still the same sport. You're still fighting. I don't know how much they really changed. NASCAR is a sport where it's you in a car.
They had to change their protocols on how the pit team dealt with everything. Same with the UFC. They changed some of their protocols on the way the corner handled things. Like, there are differences to the way they handled stuff.
Right, but I mean, like, the sport itself. So when you're actually...
Well, but that affects the sport, Greg. Like, that affects the driver, that affects the fighter. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like that.
Yes, it does. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying it's not to the same level as it would be in baseball or basketball or football.
Well, only because you believe that to be the case, because you may not be as intimately familiar with those particular sports. But the guys who play or participate in those sports would disagree with you.
Like, I can understand in boxing, like, you know, I'm sure in the UFC it's the same. You know, there's a spit thing that you, when you get out, you take out your... A spit bucket, yeah. Spit into the spit bucket. I'm sure that all had to change. That changes the way that you do things. I totally understand that. I understand. But with the driver in NASCAR, he stays in the car. Other people around him change the tires and change the fuel and all that other stuff. It's not so much of him changing his mindset.
Yeah, I cannot disagree more. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the reality is that these guys are used to a protocol, a regimen, and it works the same way. They literally work to the second on, particularly when it comes to NASCAR, right? In the way they handle the conversations with the driver, the way they handle the fixing of the car. Like, all those things affect the driver, Greg. Like, I don't understand how you can't understand that.
I understand it. I'm just saying that I don't think it's to the same level as what it is in other sports.
Yeah. Either way. All right. Coming up next, I want to get into something else. I want to get into this LeBron situation. We're going to break a little early because I want to get into this LeBron situation. So LeBron said this thing yesterday. He did this I guess, Zoom session with the Uninterrupted, which is his own brand. And they were talking about a number of different things, including Michael Jordan. Of course, everyone is all bent out of shape over something LeBron said. Because let's face it, anytime LeBron says anything, people get bent out of shape. So LeBron reveals some information we've never heard before. And we'll tell you what that is. You'll hear about it in just a few moments. You'll actually hear the audio in just a few seconds. We're back in 2 or 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any one of our interviews, go check out the entire interview on demand section in the Sedano Show podcast, brought to you by Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% on grocery stores, and 1% on all of the purchases. What's in your wallet? So we're trying to effort to find Stephen A, and we'll try to figure that out. Mike Bone, the athletic director of USC, will join us at 11 o'clock. We'll talk to him. I want to talk. I mean, look, the timing of talking to him couldn't be better, to be honest with you. It's just crazy that we're doing it right now, because ultimately it's coming off the heels of Gavin Newsom saying what he's saying. And we were just wondering, like, how that would affect the Pac-12 and USC and all the schools involved here in California. So we'll ask the athletic director, Mr. Mike Bone, about that at 11 o'clock, amongst many other things, right? We'll talk to him about the scheduling. Lane Kiffin is on the schedule now. Old Lane is on the schedule. We'll get to that with him as well. And I actually want to do some have some fun with Lane, too. But I mentioned LeBron. So LeBron revealed some stuff to us that he'd never revealed to us before, including that... what it was like that he actually had an opportunity to play with Michael Jordan. Now, it was an opportunity that he had in Santa Barbara. But even before that, he was asked on Uninterrupted, his platform, what it was like as a kid. He was 16 years old the first time he got a chance to meet Michael Jordan. And here he is talking about what it was like seeing MJ for the first time.
We walk up there, and the first person I see is Charles Oakley. Oak being from Cleveland, dapped him up. I had seen Oak around the city a few times, you know. Oak move, and when he moves, Mike is sitting on the bench press. And I was like, oh, my God. I didn't think he was real, man. You don't understand. I didn't think Michael Jordan was real. I only thought he lived in the TV, either in games or commercials or come fly with me on cassette tapes. I didn't think he was real. And when I saw him, I was like, if the man above would have took me that day, I would have lived a hell of a life. I swear to God. I had to see him. Yeah, that was the end of it. I didn't. When I got back home to Akron and I told my boys, like my boys, because they know how crazy I am about MJ. They was like, no, you're lying. I'm like, dog. I was not only did I see Mike, I was on the court with Mike. And I was like, I told you, like I said, if the man above would have took my life then, boy, I lived a hell of a life, man, after seeing Mike.
That's pretty awesome, to be honest with you. Like, just, you know, Black Jesus, you know, as he referred to him there, is pretty awesome. But yeah, look, That is LeBron at the core telling you how anybody would have felt at that particular time meeting Michael Jordan, but especially a young aspiring basketball player who wanted to emulate him, and you know, that was his hero growing up. Like, all those things were crazy important to him. So the other thing, so right, that's like cool, nice, warm, and fuzzy, right? Nobody could get bent out of shape at LeBron for describing meeting his hero at that particular point, right? Well, trust me, it gets worse for LeBron. Not because of me, but because of the way people always take everything he says and either twist his words or take it out of context or just utilize it for their own, you know, selfish reasons, which I think is just nuts. So in this interview, LeBron was asked next, hey, man, what would have it been like to have played with Michael? And here's what LeBron said.
I could care less about how great Mike was, how transcendent he was as a personality, as a person, but just his drive. And I know me personally, the way I play the game, where it comes to like team first, I just feel like my best assets work perfectly with Mike. Mike is an assassin. Mike is an assassin when it comes to that, playing the game of basketball, scoring the way he scored the ball, my ability to pass, my ability to read the game, plays and plays and plays in advance. And then just taking the challenge. Like, I love when a teammate come to me and challenge me and tell me, okay, all right, come on now. All right, six. You know, when I was in Miami, D-Wade used to be like, all right, six, let's go. You know, T-Lou used to challenge me a lot when I was in Cleveland. He'd be like, all right, Bron, what you waiting on? You know what I'm saying? And I just see that from Mike. And, you know, I just feel like our games was just a perfect, you know, correlation to be able to just be successful. You know, I see the things that Pitt was able to do with Mike. I just think it would have been a whole nother level. I just think it would have been a whole nother level, you know, with me being that point forward, you know, alongside him during those Chicago runs.
So here's what happens. LeBron says that. It gets interpreted that LeBron doesn't want to be Michael's adversary. He wanted to be his teammate, which isn't really what he said. Okay? It isn't what he said. Okay? He was asked a specific question about what it would have been like playing with him. And it was maybe misinterpreted that he would have preferred to have been his teammate as opposed to his adversary, which LeBron took exception with, which LeBron then tweeted yesterday because, of course, it became a story because everything with LeBron becomes a freaking story. And he says, no, I didn't say I envisioned MJ as a teammate and not an adversary. A question was asked. Do I think I could have been a teammate of his and compliment his game? He says, I love the greats. I would have loved to play with them all during their runs because I'm a historian of the game. But I would also die to compete versus every single one of them too. Don't ever get it twisted. Nevertheless, MJ, thank you for being my angel, inspiration, and superhero. So, yeah, look, I don't blame LeBron. Like, listen, I'll tell you this. There are plenty of times that you will hear me get on LeBron about stuff and be like, really, dude, like, you know, why you do this? Like, why do you got to do that? And or give you just context on how he's done stuff in the past and why it I can kind of translate some of the passive aggressive stuff that occasionally comes out of his mouth. But this isn't one of those. Like, this was I understand why he's annoyed by this. It's like, yo, like, I'm trying to do something cool and talk about the doc, right? Because people want to hear what I have to say about the doc. And I'm doing it on my platform with Maverick and Paul Rivera. And I want to do this cool thing and talk about how awesome it was to meet Michael Jordan. I was asked the question, what would it be like to play with him? And here's how I think it would go. And it gets twisted. So, look, I get it. I get why I would be annoyed by it if I were him. And I think you would be too, to be frank, because the comparisons are already there. And this wasn't something where he wanted to compare himself to him. This was something where he was trying to show him like some actual, like pay homage to him, like just actually show reverence towards Michael. So I just think that it's one of these deals where sometimes we just need to let things breathe and just enjoy it. And here's the thing about LeBron, okay? So, and maybe I've said this before. Maybe I haven't. I don't know anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I look at it this way when it comes to LeBron. LeBron, more so than anyone in that sport, more so than Michael, more so than Kobe. Like, Michael was not a prodigy, right? Like, Kobe was more of a prodigy, but LeBron, let's face it, was the ultimate prodigy. And what I mean by that is the hype, right? We knew LeBron was coming at a younger age pretty much than anyone, right? Even now, like, think about Zion. And there was plenty of hype with Zion, but and it was probably the most hype we'd seen since LeBron. But the hype as, like, a kid in high school that LeBron had was unlike anything we've ever seen, okay? And then, not to mention, you know, he's coming into the league. He has the big Nike contract, super hyped. Every step of the way, he's being analyzed and overanalyzed, wash, rinse, and repeat. And I don't know about you, and I'll put it up to you guys on the phone, like at 877-710-ESPN. But isn't it fair to say that LeBron has either met expectations or perhaps even exceeded expectations? Like, think about this. Like, I'm old enough to remember plenty of high school phenoms that didn't turn out the way we expected it. Like, I remember a kid out of St. John's called Felipe Lopez who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and was drafted by the Vancouver Grizzlies that was supposed to be the next guy. I remember Sebastian Telfair being the next high school phenom, and that didn't turn out to be that. Like, he was a fine NBA player, but he wasn't that. Like, there are plenty of those guys that had hype coming out of high school that didn't succeed. And it's why you should look at guys like LeBron and Kobe and Kevin Garnett, right? And just be like, wow, those guys coming right out of high school to play in a man's league. And back then, it was a man's league, okay? Particularly for Kevin Garnett and Kobe. You should look at those guys and be like, damn, those guys are impressive. Instead of us trying to break them down constantly and, like I said, just overanalyze them, like, just enjoy them. Just enjoy them. And by the way, with LeBron, it's not like his legacy is over. We're trying to finish a season right now. So there's still plenty of opportunities for LeBron to add to his legacy. So I'll open it up to you. Like, how do you feel about LeBron when it comes to his, like, expectations? And how do you feel about just kind of the way everything he says gets twisted around? And look, sometimes, look, I would say more times than not, it's on him. Like, he actually said the thing. But in this particular case, I don't blame him. But I just don't understand. Like, I give him credit for being as scrutinized a player over every little minute detail as maybe we've ever had, just because he has grown up in the social media era and, like, in the middle of the just the cauldron of all the takes, both from professionals who do it for a living, and just random dudes. I mean, we know Kevin Durant doesn't necessarily always deal with it the way that we'd expect him to. And by the way, he's entitled to do it the way he wants to do it too. I'm not necessarily knocking him for it. It wouldn't be the way I would do it. But I'm not knocking him for it. So I'll open it up to you. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Oh, and by the way, there was one other thing LeBron said yesterday that blew my mind and blew everyone else's mind. And we'll get to that in a second. Plus, I got a couple other things for you. Don't forget Mike Bone, the athletic director for USC, is going to stop by at 11 o'clock. And the pizza guy in the Jordan documentary is calling BS. We'll get to all that coming up. Stick around. We're back in just 2 minutes. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. As a matter of fact, I was checking out the ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes today, and she has Paul Feinbaum on talking about college football and when it could potentially start. with the SEC and this whole Alabama USC game, and will it? Does he believe it'll get off and actually play? And again, we're going to have Mike Bone on from USC, the athletic director, in a few minutes to talk to him about that and much more, and particularly how the Gavin Newsom press conference yesterday will affect the way USC athletics conducts itself and how that could change things necessarily. So we'll talk to Mike Bone in a little bit, so make sure you stick around for that in less than 20 minutes. But a couple of things that I wanted to get to. I want to get to this LeBron thing in a second. What is there? Is there one thing that you found yourself, Greg Bergman, drawn to during this quarantine pandemic as far as a visual experience, whether it's TV or maybe some movies that you've drawn yourself to that you're like, ooh, yeah, I'm going to watch this, and you actually came across it and were like, huh, yeah. I dig this. Like, I didn't expect to like this, but I like it right now.
No, I don't think. I mean, I'm rewatching old shows. I'm reading a lot more. But no, not a lot of TV actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Because TV viewing is definitely up. And that's the reason I asked that. But ultimately, I have found myself just either going through old movies. Found myself rewatching shows that I like for, I guess, basically more detail, things that maybe you missed the first time around. Right. I've wanted to watch something different. For example, I've never watched Breaking Bad, and I want to watch it, but it's like, man, like, that's just a lot of effort. And at the end of the day, I have this routine in my life. I am a creature of habit, right? And I think most men, I think, are creatures of habit. So, you know, after the show, I have, sometimes I have other responsibilities after the show from a work perspective. So I'll do some other work after the show, and then, you know, I'll get something to eat. And then I got to deal with my, my daughter's Zoom class for kindergarten, right? And then, you know, I want to get, caught up on emails and then get a little workout in. And then by the time I come back, right, it's like I want to actually watch some news, see what the hell's happened in the world. And then get the kids ready. And then by the time the kids are all done, we've had dinner, all that stuff, it's like 8 o'clock, 8:30. And then it's like, I'm probably going to go to bed in the next hour and a half or two. Like, you know, what do I really want to watch? Do I want to really, my mind is tired. Do I want to invest in something new, which, you know, probably won't allow me to go to sleep? I don't know. Like, I just feel like mentally I'm not drawn to something new right now. Which sounds strange, because you'd think that now I'd be drawn to something new because there'd be more time. But I find myself with a regimen and a schedule that doesn't necessarily allow me to do that, which is weird.
Right. So, I mean, Breaking Bad is one of those shows that it's an amazing show. Don't get it wrong. I can understand why you wouldn't want to go into that at the end of the night like that, because it is a very, very slow burn. And you have to pay attention, and your mind needs to be on it at all times, because you might miss something. So watching something like Parks and Rec is probably a little bit easier on the brain. It's more mindless.
Yeah, give me something where I don't have to think that hard.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I'm watching The Shield over again because I've, like you said, rewatching stuff. So I'm rewatching The Shield just because, like, I love the show and I know what's going to happen, but you see the little details.
Yeah, I think of it like comfort food, right? Like, what is your go-to comfort food? Like, when you're like, you've had a long day, you don't have a lot of time, but you know what? I want to make sure this is part of my meal, because you know what? It just makes me feel good.
Right, ramen right now, actually.
Okay.
They just go right to it. It's easy. They're like 99 cents, which makes it even better. And then it's just easy. You throw it into a pot, and boom, you got it in like 5-10 minutes.
Now, do you have the fancy ramen occasionally, though?
Oh, no. I'll order every once in a while. Yeah, I'll order from a spot down the street and get a nice ramen. But for the most part, no, it's just the top.
See,
ramen.
I'm not a big soup guy. So I feel like...
So I don't eat ramen as soup. Ramen is not soup to me.
You're saying just the noodles?
Yes, just the noodles.
Oh, okay.
Which is better. I mean, I don't like I like soup, but not to that extent. Like, I like to get rid of the soup and then put all this stuff onto the noodles afterwards.
Laura, I know you've been very busy today, so we appreciate everything you've been going through back there. Is there a go-to comfort food? Like, maybe something mommy makes, right? Like, you know, like, I don't know.
So I've actually been trying to eat really healthy, so I meal prep. So my thing is the same: cottage cheese, hummus, and chicken.
Wow!
But my go-to
every day,
Oof. And veggies. But my comfort thing is hot Cheetos. I love. Actually, the George, the board out for the morning show, he's like, yo, you're stressed a little bit. I'm going to go get you some hot Cheetos from the vending machine. I'm like, no, don't do it. I've been good. But that's my comfort food. I love hot Cheetos with cheese.
So, like, it's funny you say that. So, like, Skip Bayless, who works at Fox, when he used to work at ESPN, I knew this because I used to see him all the time. I worked in Bristol when he was there. He used to eat the same meal. He would meal prep. His brother, by the way, is, like, a super famous chef in Chicago. But he would meal prep. And it's, like, chicken and, like, broccoli and maybe a little bit of rice or something, but vegetables or whatever. So, yeah. So, your cottage cheese, hummus, and what?
It's cottage cheese, hummus, chicken or turkey, like turkey patties,
yeah,
and a veggie mix that I do, and I put it in the oven. So it's super simple. They're done. I just grab it and go.
Hot Cheetos is interesting, though. See, my go-to comfort food is like some, if it's going to be like part of a meal, it's going to be like some sort of potato dish, right? Even though I don't eat a lot of potato right now, or maybe like just some bread, like just some hot, warm bread, garlic bread or like cheese bread or something like that. But if it's going to be like something like junk food, it's definitely something chocolate related. Like, I don't think that there's any doubt. Like at my house for Mother's Day, I got my wife a cake. And also for my daughter's birthday, which happened to be a week later, we got her a cake. So we have literally been eating cake for like, I don't know, 10 days straight, it feels like right now.
Oh, man. So you're one of those people that, like, it's just funny that your go-to, like, oh, I'm going to have a piece of bread. I'm cheating today. It's very funny to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Same, it's like carbs.
It's like I told you, I limit my carb intake. And then, but here's the thing about carbs that I think people don't, and by the way, I'll get to the LeBron thing here in a second. The interesting part about this is, and I've talked to like medical people about this, that, you know, it's why people do keto, right? They do keto because they say to themselves, well, if you're going to have, like, basically, if you're going to have carbs, it all turns into sugar later anyway. You know what I'm saying? So whether you have bread or you have potato chips or you have rice or you have a chocolate bar, like, at the end of the day, it all turns into the same thing. So the point is, if you're going to have carbs, you might as well make it something you want, whether it's ice cream as opposed to rice or bread or a piece of cake as opposed to, you know, I don't know, potato chips, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like that, or French fries, right? Like, I think that's just kind of the point to it.
I didn't realize that rice was so starchy, I guess.
I mean, it's literally the starch of starches. Like, are you serious about this?
Well, no, I just when I have rice, I'm like, okay, I'm being healthy. I'm having rice. I don't know. I just, in my mind, it's made myself think that rice is okay. More so than.
Can we put up a poll? Because I would love to see what, on ESPN Los Angeles, if our social team is listening right now, I would love to see the results of this poll of did you know rice was a starch?
Because I would say starch.
What?
I knew it was a starch.
But you just said it. You didn't realize
starchy.
It was
like I didn't know it was so bad. I didn't realize it was so bad. Yeah. I knew it was starch.
It's not healthy, Greg.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, like anything.
You want to put it that way.
It's healthy in moderation. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's plenty of people who eat rice, like Hispanic people, Asian people who are healthy. Like, you could look at them, they're healthy people. But again, life is about moderation. It's about knowing what you're putting in your damn body. Anyway, enough of the dietitian stuff. What is your go-to comfort food? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. LeBron, as I mentioned, revealed something else that was new that we didn't know. And if you remember in the 2011 season, there was the lockout shortened season. And if you remember, Kevin Durant and LeBron played a flag football game. Well, LeBron revealed to us yesterday on Uninterrupted that it wasn't just about a flag football game. Here's what LeBron said.
Recently, Coach Doc Rivers said that he believes you could have been potentially the best football player to ever play the game. Was football ever even a thought for you during that year?
You know what? To be honest, PR, it actually was. Wow. I had no idea how long the lockout was going to be. And myself and my trainer, Mike Mancias, we really started to actually train to be a football player when it came to like October and November. We started to run. We started to clock our times with the 40s. We started to add a little bit more in our bench presses and things of that nature. We started to add more sled into our agenda with our workouts. And, you know, Mike kept talking about, you know, it'd be great to go down to Irvine, Texas. You know, it'd be great to go to Irvine, Texas. You know, Mike is, you know, he's from Texas.
Die hard.
Cowboy fans. You know, he's like, it'd be great to go down there to Dallas, you know, and suit it up for the Cowboys. How great that'll be. And, you know, the thoughts came into my mind, but, you know, never having the ability to finish my high school career of playing like my senior year. I have dreams all the time about playing football. And it's like, it's crazy because I actually never run on the field in my dreams. It always gets to the point where I'm either in the locker room or getting dressed or talking about it or seeing the fans. And as soon as I run about to run on the field, something else happens in my dream. It's like something that, yeah, it always happens like that. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Did you get the call from Bron saying, hey, I might want to do this?
I did not, but I know he got a contract from Jerry Jones that he framed and put in his office.
So he got a contract, an actual contract from Jerry Jones. I don't think Jerry Jones is actually going to be able to put him on the football team, but he knew that LeBron is a Dallas Cowboy fan, and that's cool. I would have that totally framed too. I also thought the interesting part there was the was the dream thing. Like, have you ever had like a crazy dream where like he's talking about that it's constantly happened, and then right when you get to the point where you're like, oh my God, this is going to be awesome, and then it just flips on you? I hate that. So like Tim Kirkchin, next time Tim Kirkchin's on, remind me to ask him this story. Tim Kirkchin has a famous story about a dream. Like, for people that don't know, Tim Kirkchin at ESPN is he's 60 something years old now, but when he was younger, he was a very good basketball player. And he used to play in those ESPN basketball games, and he was really damn good. Granted, again, he's 60 something years old now. So he has a recurring dream that he can't shoot free throws and that every time he goes to the free throw line, he goes to shoot the ball, and the ball all of a sudden, as it's in mid flight, turns into an umbrella that's open and then like falls like to the ground. And he's like screaming at himself, why can't I shoot free throws? And then he wakes up. There are plenty of those dreams. Like, I always have the I'm diving into something dream. Like, maybe it's because I'm afraid of heights, but I always have the I'm diving off a cliff or diving off like some sort of, like in an action movie, right? Like jumping off an explosion into something else. And as I'm about to land, I'm either going to land where I either have to grip the side of the mountain or something, or the hill or the building. And right as I hit, I wake up. Like, I never know if I actually finished my mission or whatever the hell I'm thinking about in my dream.
Oh man, that's the worst. Yeah. I have those dreams all the time. Whatever happens, the good part, it always stops right before the good part. And you can let your mind think whatever you want. Right before the good part, it always ends. I wake up. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's like a Kirkchin dream where I'm shooting free throws or I'm about to hit a home run, or if I'm about to hit a home run. You know what I mean?
Do you ever hit – you never hit the home run is basically what you're saying?
Most of the time, no. Sometimes, yes, but most of the time, no.
So kind of like your life, right? Like you take way more L's than you take W's.
Only on this show.
Yeah. Laura, what is your recurring dream before we get to Mike Bone and we go to break to talk to Mike Bone, the athletic director of USC?
Mine, it's that I was an NBA player and that I'm about to hit the winning shot, and I wake up.
No always. Way. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Always, man. Always.
Right. So you're basically doing the 3-2-1 buzzer goes yep. off, and then you wake up.
I wake up.
The buzzer wakes you up.
The buzzer. It yeah. So I actually take the shot, but I never know if it goes in.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Super sucks.
Yeah. That annoying. Breaking news. We've got some breaking news in the NFL. We'll have that for you coming up in 90 seconds. Plus, Mike Bone, the USC athletic director, at 11 o'clock. Stick around. We're back in just a few moments.